Today's shiur is dedicated for Zchus for Refu Shleima, for Shalom and Bracha. Today's shiur is Masechta Nedarim, Daf Samach Vav. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbaruch on Daf Samach Vav, Amar Aleph and Taper Amid at the Mishnah. Teaches us the Mishnah Paischim, as we continue to discuss the halachas of how we can be mat a neder. So teaches us the Mishnah that if somebody made a neder that he won't eat meat, he won't drink wine, and a Pesach could be made by Shabbos. By saying to this person that, don't you realize that on Shabbos one may not fast, and had upon yourself not to eat meat and drink wine, that not recognizing that by doing so you will be violating Chil Shabbos. And Ritva explains. So everybody knows that if he makes a neder for a year, that in the course of the year, there's going to be Shabbos and Yom Tovim. What is the Pesach here? So Ritva explains that the way to understand the Mishnah was that the person thought that even though he was making a neder, that he's not going to eat meat or drink wine for an entire year, he was under the misimpression that the neder, as far as Shabbos is concerned, as far as Shabbos and Yom Tov are concerned, is not a valid neder. And therefore, there is no problem. He could have his neder, because the neder is only effective during the week, and in Shabbos and Yom Tov, he would be allowed to eat. When he discovered that the neder that he made applied to Shabbos and Yom Tov as well, that's when it becomes a valid neder. The Sefer Tiferes Tzion explains the Mishnah that it says in the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Perek Gimel teaches us, Hamavazes Samayados, Afapi Shiesh Biyad Torah Masim Tovim. Somebody doesn't treat the Yom Tovim with the proper respect, even though he's a person who learns Torah, he's a person who does mitzvahs, Ein Lei Chelek Laim Haba. And certainly we know, he explains, how important Shabbos is. We know Chazal teach us how Mechala Shabbos, if somebody's Mechala Shabbos, Chas V'Sharim, Harei Ko'evet Avodah Zarah. Says the Tiferes Tzion, that's Pshat in our Mishnah. Just like we've been learning in the Mishnayos in our Perek, that sometimes we can't use certain claims as a Pesach. We can't, and we learned at the beginning of the Perek, we can't use Kavod HaMakom, saying, well, if you would have known that what you're doing would cause disrespect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then would you have ever made the neder? And as we learned, that is not a legitimate way for a Pesach. The concern is that who's the person that's going to say, well, I don't care, or different examples. So maybe we would think, explains the Tiferes Tzion, the same thing applies, that when somebody says, when we try to be matan neder with Shabbos Yom Tov, who is the person that's going to say, I don't care about Shabbos and Yom Tov, teaches us the Mishnah that is not the consideration, and it is a legitimate neder. The Rishonim ask that our Mishnah seems to be teaching us that if somebody is going to make a neder that he's going to fast on Shabbos Yom Tov, unless he's matted the neder, the halacha is that he has to fast on Shabbos Yom Tov. But the question is, why? Why is this not considered a neder levatel dvar mitzvah? So of course, the simple answer is that we've learned in our Masechta that even though one cannot be make a neder, not make a shvua, which is mevatel mitzvah, if the shvua you make represents that you're abolishing a mitzvah, it wouldn't be valid. By a neder, it would be chal. And therefore, we have to have, in our case, a Pesach for the neder. It says the Gemara, B'shayna hayo oimrim, oisra hayomim. So originally they said, so well, we're matan neder here by helping the person understand how could you can't be in a situation where you're going to fast on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So we're matan neder for Shabbos and Yom Tov. So says the Mishnah, B'shayna hayo oimrim, oisra yomim matarim, that on Shabbos and Yom Tov allowed to eat meat and drink wine. V'shaka yomim, all the other days of the year that he said he can't drink meat and drink wine and eat meat, asurin. Ach bar Rebbe Kiva v'limeid, until Rebbe Kiva taught us a concept that we've learned in our Masechta, Nada Shehuta Mitzasai Mechal Hutta Mechalai, that if part of the nether is nullified, the whole nether is nullified. And the Yerushalmi explains, what is the basis of the Halacha of Nada Shehuta Mitzasai Hutta Mechalai? Because the Pasuk, when it speaks about our obligation to fulfill our Nedarim, says, Kikol hayoytz mipiv yasa. So as long as kikol hayoytz mipiv, I can accept and I can do everything I've said, that's when the nether is a nether. But if it's not going to be kikol hayoytz mipiv, because the Shabbos and the Yom Tov are going to be excluded, then the nether falls away entirely. The Rosh explains that when a person accepts upon himself a nether, What he's saying, and what he means to say, is that I'm going to keep this entire nether. And if he can't keep the entire nether, or if, as we're learning now, part of the nether is annulled, that's when the halacha is nether shatu mektsasa had hutta kula. The Rosh quotes the Rambam that this concept that we're learning, nether shatu mektsasa hutta mekula, is when the nether was annulled by cause of a mistake. We earlier in our Masechta discussed a case where somebody saw people eating his fruit, and he was upset that people were eating his fruit without his permission. So he says that this fruit should be usher to anyone. And then he discovers that amongst the people who were eating his fruit were his father, his brother, people who he clearly did not in the nether. So that's when we say nether shotem miktsasa hutta kulay. But, and the same thing he says, is the case that we're speaking about in our shir, where you went to a Rav to be matar neder. And there we have again the concept that once the Rav is matar, part of the neder, neder shuta mektsasa huta kula. But in a case that the neder was a neder toss, that neder, the way it was a charata, we often speak at our shurim, that one of the ways the Gemara has suggested that perhaps you can be met the nether is by regretting, by having charata. There, the Rosh says, if a nether becomes batal, if a nether becomes nullified because of charata, so only the part of the nether where you had charata do we say that it's batal. But it doesn't affect the balance of the nether. Tosfos disagrees. Tosfos says the nether shuta mektsasa huta kulay is even in not just in the case of a toss, of a mistake, not just in the case of a Pesach, but even in the case of Charata. But the Ritva points out that we also know that we've spoken about that sometimes Beis Din could put a person into Nidui, Beis Din, or Cherim. There the Ritva says, we don't say that if part of the Nidui was lifted, it means that the entire Nidui or Cherim were lifted. Ketzad. And the Mishnah now illustrates. If somebody made a nether that a large group of people can have benefit from him, the halacha is hutar echad mehem. If the nether for one of them becomes nullified, as we just gave an example, if he realizes that one of the people in the group was his father, so the halacha is hutar echad mehem. If by one of them it becomes batal, hutar kulam, then all of them does it, that becomes the halacha. And the Ran points out that what the Mishnah means to teach us here is that not only in a case where the nether speaks about a time period, like we began the shir, where it speaks about a year, which includes Shabbos and Yom Tovim, the Mishnah is also giving us an illustration where it's speaking to a group of people. And there too we say, nether shotem miktsasa huta kula. If somebody said, sheni nena lezeh lezeh, if somebody listed a group of individuals that he won't have any benefit, or they can't have benefit from me, so says the Mishnah, Hutta Rishon, so the way he says this person, and then that person, and then that person. So they're all tied, they're all connected to the first person. And therefore the halacha is, Hutta Rishon, if the nether towards the first person becomes nullified, becomes mutter, so since everybody else down the line is connected to that first person, the halacha will be hutra kulam. But, hutar achron, if only the last person on the line, his nether becomes nullified, then achron mutar kulan asurim. Because the people
before him are not connected to him. Because the people before him are not connected to him, therefore, just because his nether falls, it doesn't have an effect on anyone else. Somebody said, "Eini nilzeh karbin." Somebody says that, as we started the Masechta, perhaps the best way of expressing a nether is by being matris, by connecting the nether, to a carbon, because a carbon is a perfect example of a nether. So somebody says, "Sha'ani nena lezeh carbon, lezeh carbon." If he individually mentioned each person, that he may not have benefit from that person. So each person's nether is an independent nether, and therefore tzrichim pesel chalechav echad. If he wants to be matan nether, each nether is considered an individual nether and has to have its own hataras nedarim. Somebody said, "Kanim yaim shani tayim." Somebody made a nether that I won't drink wine, and he explained the reason I'm making this nether is shayin yain ra'alim ayim, because I know wine is not healthy for somebody who has a stomach ailment. Amaloi, to which he was told, "V'aloi hamiyushin, v'aloi hamiyushin yaflam ayim," that old wine is good for the stomach. And the Rishonim apply that any wine that's more than a year old is considered miyushin. Says the Gemara, "Hotam miyushin." So now he has a perfect hataras nadarim. The only reason he made this nadarim is because, the only reason he made this nether because he felt it's affecting his health. But if actually it's going to help him, then he's being matan nether. And therefore, in this case, v'loy b'miyushin v'vad, hutar el b'chol yayin. We're going to apply the concept of nether shehutar mitzasai, hutar kulay. And the Ran points out that it won't be even necessary to do hataras nadarim, because this would be a case of a nether toss that we discussed in the previous year, where if the nether was made under false pretenses, the person here made the nether under the misunderstanding, on the misconception that wine is actually not good for his health and wine is actually good, so he may not even need to have a taras nadarim. It's a nether toss. Similarly, somebody said, "Koinim batzel shani toyim, I'm not going to have olives. Shabotzel ralalev, because batzel, onions are not good for one's heart." To which he was told, "Omle haloya kufri," which is a type of onion, "yafa lalev," it's actually good for the heart. Some say kufri means it comes from a certain place. Others say it's speaking about small onions. The larger onions may not be good, but small onions are good. Hut of a kufri, so then he has, and then he's allowed to have kufri. And again, the Ran's going to say he wouldn't even necessarily require hataras nadarim for the kufri. And then the halacha will be v'loy b'kufri hutar, not only will he be permitted to have kufri onions, el b'chol ha-betzalim, he'll be allowed to have all type of onions. And of course, the Tveres Yisrael asks, why does the Mishnah have to speak about onions and yayin? It's the exact same point. So he explains, by yayin, by wine, I could understand maybe why we should say neder shota miktsasa hota kula. Because wine, all wine, will ultimately be yayin yoshin. All wine will ultimately be old wine. And since all wine will ultimately be old wine, that's why we could understand that even though the fresh wine maybe should be usher, that's what we could say in the Shatam Mikhtasa Tekulai. But when we speak about the onions here, so the onions that are good for the person with the heart issue are yain, batzel kufri. And they're always batzel kufri. And the other onions will never be batzel kufri. So maybe I should consider this, says the Tveres Yisrael, in explaining the Mishnah, as two totally different type of onions. And just because now, based on the information he received, he's going to be allowed to have batzel kufri, he should still maybe not be allowed to have regular onions, teaches us the Mishnah, we still apply the concept of neder shota miktsasai hota kula. It says, the Mishnah Maisa Haya, there was a person that indeed made such a neder, not to eat onion, under the assumption that onion are bad for one's health, And then he discovered that certain onions are actually healthy. We applied the halacha of nedeshot mitzasa hatakula. There's an interesting discussion in the Shas Tshuvas Igros Moshe, Yerideya Chelik Aleph Simen Kufnun Aleph. There was a person whose wife went on a diet. And he said, if my wife succeeds in the diet, I'm going to give $1,000 to tzedakah. And there are two questions. What is considered success in a diet? And number two, even if she did meet that mark of success in a diet, what happens if the person gained the weight back? Is that still obligate him to pay to fulfill his nether? So Rav Moshe says that the definition of successful success in a diet is that when people recognize that you lost weight. So even if that's considered a successful diet. Now the next question, what's going to be the halacha that if the person indeed lost that much weight, so it's obvious that the diet was successful, but then gained it back. So the Sefer Chashukei Chemed says that that's considered success in a diet. Because even though, unfortunately, the person gained back their weight, but the person did lose weight for whatever period of time, and that's considered something that we should recognize. And moreover, this person now realizes that they have the ability to go on a diet, and they have the ability to lose weight. And therefore, even though that maybe now they're not where they want to be, it's enough to be considered that the diet was a success and that the person would have to give him tzedakah. And he uses a very interesting concept to prove this. We all know that every Jewish child, when they're in the womb of their mother, they learn Kol HaTorah Kula. They learn the whole Torah. But then, as the child gets born, the Malach comes and gives him a little mark over his lips and he forgets it. So the question is obvious. What is the point of learning if you're going to forget everything you've learned anyway? What do we see from here? That if you learned something once, even if unfortunately you're going to forget it, it's going to be easier to learn it the second time. The same thing here. Even if the person was on a diet and unfortunately lost weight and then gained back the weight, but they've accomplished something and there, and therefore the husband would have to pay the nether. Says the Gemara Huta Achron, in the case where somebody connected a number of people to one nether, so the Mishnah said, it depends which of the nedarim you will matter. If you will matter the first person, since all the people after him online are connected to the first person, so if that nether falls, all the other nedarim falls. But if the last person on the line, the nether was mutter, it wouldn't affect the status of the previous people. Huta achron, hachem mutter v'kulan asurim. But if we made each nether separately, carbon lezeh lezeh, each nether is viewed independently. And since each nether is viewed independently, just because you amount to one nether, it doesn't affect the other nedarim. Man tana, who is the tana that says that that it's not inadequate to say lezeh lezeh. You have to say carbon lezeh lezeh. Says the Gemara Amar Rava Rav Shimon he. It represents the opinion of Shimon. The Amar at Shiyam Shvul Kol Echad Vechad. The Tarak Daisha teaches us the parasha of Shvuas HaPikadon. If somebody approaches someone and says you're holding on to something of mine, and the person swears falsely that he's not, and then he admits that he swore falsely, he has to give, that's called a case of a kicha. The Torah describes the kicha by misa b'kadin, the nishba al shekav as Hashem yovel Hashem, that he has to bring a carbon asham, a carbon shvus b'kadin. What happens if five people challenge him that he's holding their b'kadin? And he says to each one, I'm not holding your b'kadin. So what is the halacha? If he spoke to each one individually, he will have to bring a separate carbon for each one. If he said to the first person, Shvur she'en lecha biyadi, v'loy lecha, v'loy lecha, he just said the v'loy to each one separately. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, that is considered as if he's made five separate Shvur sebekadens. Rav Shimon, however, disagrees. And Rav Shimon says that the only time you're going to have to bring separate kabbanis, at she'im reshvul kalechad ve'echad, saying shvul lecha, shvul she'en lecha biyadi, and then separate, saying a separate shvul, that you have to say, that's going to make it separate. Here too, in our Mishnah, Rav Shimon says she'ani nena lezeh karbon, lezeh karbon, also is an indication that you have to make very separate and distinct nedarim to be considered separate shvuos. So our Mishnah, says the Gemara, says Rava, is consistent with the opinion of Rav Shimon. We learned in our Mishnah, somebody said, Kainim Shayin Shani Taim, and we had that back and forth, but then he discovers the wine is actually good. Says the Gemara, V'tepikalei Dein Ra. Why is it necessary to say, why is it necessary for the Mishnah to tell us that wine is good for a person with stomach ailment? He said that the reason I'm making this nether not to drink wine is because it's bad for my stomach. So as long as it's told to him, as long as he understands that it's not bad, it should be enough. Says the Gemara, indeed. If he was told that the wine is not bad for your stomach, it would already be enough of a reason for the nether not to be nether. But says Rav Abba, what the Mishnah is teaching us to teach us is that not only is old wine not bad for your stomach, it happens to be v'oidyofiktani, that happens to be good for the stomach. And that's Mishnah's teaching us that as a fact, that old wine is good for the stomach. But for the nether to become nullified, all we need to know is that the old wine is not bad for the stomach. Kind of shani time, Shabbat will typically day ra. Again, the same question. Why is it necessary for us to tell us that the kufri is good? It should be just enough to learn that the kufri is not bad. Teaches us the Gemara, the same teretz, Amar Rav Abba, Vay Jafiktani. The Mishnah wants to teach us that kufri onions are actually good for the heart. Paiskal Adam, if somebody made a nether that he can't benefit from his wife, and then once somebody makes such a nether, he has to divorce his wife, they obviously cannot live together, and they make a legitimate Pesach is v'kvayt atzmai v'kvayt banav. And the Mishnah right away explains, Imrim loy, they say to this individual, Ilo yisideya, were you to know, shlemachar, after you divorce your wife, people will say about you, Imrim loch, kachi vestai, this is his habit, kachi vestai shaplani, this is the way this person behaves, begaris is nafshav, he doesn't like his wife and he just divorces her, v'abinasach you Imrim, and regarding your daughters, people will say, benois grushas heim. They'll say that they're the daughters of such a mother, and people are going to start saying that his daughters probably don't have such great personalities. People aren't going to want to marry his daughters. Ma ros imin sha'elin lizgarish. Why did he not want to live with this woman? And she must have done something terrible that he wouldn't want to stay with her. V'amar, and he says, Ilo yisidei shekein, if I would realize that this is the repercussion of what I'm doing, lo yisidei neider, I would have never made a nether. The rocha is, I raise a mutter, we could take away the nether, and they don't have to get divorced. Because as the Rosh explains, what does it mean, ma'arosa ima lizgarish? The father must have found with her some sort of adulterous behavior. And then they'll say that the daughters have these type of habits as well. And because of that, if he says, I never recognize the repercussions, it's a good Pesach. Kainim shen noises plainus kura. A person makes another, I refuse to marry this woman because she's not good looking. Verina, but in actuality, she is good looking. Shchaira, he says, I'm not going to marry this woman because she has a bad complexion. And actually, Verei Levana, she has a nice complexion. He says, I'm not going to marry this woman because Kitsara, she's very short. But actually, Haricha, she's tall. Mutaba, in all these cases, the nether is mutter. Loim Neshikura Venasis Na, it's not because she was ugly and got nice. Shchaira Venas Levana, Kitsara Venas Arucha. Rather, the way we understand what happened is, the entire nether was made in error. And the Rishonim explained that if indeed she was Ka'ura at the time of the Neder, then we wouldn't really have a Pesach. Because if indeed she was Ka'ura at the time of the Neder, then why? Then the Neder is a good Neder. Rather, the way to understand is that she was never Ka'ura. And as the Mishnah says, it's therefore the whole Neder is considered a Neder toss. And therefore, Tosfos says, similar to something we mentioned a few moments ago, the halacha will be that we don't even have to have Hataras Nedarim, because this is considered a Neder toss, and because it's a Neder toss, there's no need for Hataras Nedarim. And in fact, teaches us the Mishnah, as we discussed in the previous year, it was common for uncles to marry nieces, particularly a niece, a sister's daughter. And there was somebody who was expected to marry his niece, and he made a neder because his niece was supposedly not good looking. I will not marry her. I will not have any benefit for her. And then says the Mishnah, they brought it to the home of Yishmael, and they made her look beautiful. Is this the girl that you meant? And based on this, Vatiri Rabbi Shmuel says, the Gemara, Boisa Shah Bach Rabbi Shmuel. At that point, Rabbi Shmuel began to cry. Vamar, Benois Yisrael, Benois Hain. All Jewish girls are beautiful. El Shanias Menavlaton. Because the poverty causes them not to, it prevents their beauty from shining. Shmeis Rabbi Shmuel, when Rabbi Shmuel passed away, Habinois Yisrael, Noises Kinova Oimris. All the Jewish girls cried. Vimris, and they said, Benois Yisrael, Rabbi Shmuel Bechina. Jewish girls, you ought to cry for Rabbi Shmuel, because he was worried about you, and he spoke so positively about you. Kena Rabbi Shmuel, Benois Yisrael, Shmuel Bechina. Jewish girl cry on Shaul, who also was concerned about the beauty of the Jewish girls. So here we see Kura Venasis Nafa. So I saw that Rabbi Aaron Leib Steinman said a story over from the Panovich Rav. He says that when the Panovich Rav was Rav in the city of Panovich, he was able to prevent that no one in his city got divorced. And that if a couple wanted to get divorced, they would come speak to the Panovich Rav, the Rav of the city, and he would be able to convince them to get back together and have Shalom Bayis. Besides one time that a couple came to get a divorce to the Panovich Rav, and the husband was insistent that he can no longer remain with this woman, that her appearance bothered him very much, and he could not remain with her. So the Panovich Rav said, okay, he tried, and a get was written. A half a year later, the husband comes back to the Panovich Rav, and crying, he says, why weren't you able to convince me not to give the get? So the Panovich Rav says, I don't understand. In my entire experience, I always was successful that to prevent a get from being written, and prevent the home from being broken. You were the most stubborn person I ever encountered. There was no way I could convince you to try to remain remarried. And now you're upset. I don't understand what happened. So he told the Panovich Rav, as I said to you when we got divorced, the reason I'm requesting a get is because her appearance bothers me. But now I recently saw her and she looks great. So I regret that we got divorced. What is the halacha? So now, Panovich Rav said, and that's the concept that we're learning perhaps in our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is teaching us that Jewish girls are beautiful. And he said probably what happened over here was that she was really a beautiful woman. The lack of shalom bayis, in the home is what caused her to not look nice. And all that's required is that she should have a little menuchas hanefesh. and that she should be treated nicely, and you'll see how beautiful she actually is. So our Mishnah said that if somebody made a neder that he's not going to marry a woman because she's not a nice appearance, and then she actually is nice looking, the neder is not a neder. But, and the Mishnah said, that if indeed was the case that she was good looking, but if she only became good looking later, then the neder would be good a neder. Ask the Umar Masalister. Mishnah is teaching us that isn't the story different than what the halacha? Rav Shmuel said that they could stay married even though she only became good looking later. So usually, as when we have this type of question, what the Gemara means to say is that when the Mishnah quotes a story, the purpose of the story is to support the halacha that was taught in the Mishnah. Here it seems that the story that's being recorded in the Mishnah contradicts the halacha. And it seems that even if she got better looking later, the neder would not be a neder. Answers the Gemara Chasurim Echzvachtani. Rishmal Oimer, Afila Kura, even if indeed she was not nice looking at the time of the neder, Venasas No, or even if Shchayr Venasas Lavana, she didn't have a good complexion, now she has a good one, Tzara Venasa Arucha, in all these cases, Rav Shmuel holds you could be matter the neder. And the way the Rishonim explain, Rav Shmuel holds that one pshat in the Rishonim is that Rav Shmuel holds poiskim benoilid, that even though something wasn't the case at the time of the neder, it still could serve, as we've been discussing in our perek, as a legitimate way to be matter the neder. And that's why he holds it could be matter the neder. Another way I sort of Rishonim learn that even if she wasn't pleasant looking at the time of the neder, and only after the neder did whatever happened that she was pleasant looking, she was really that way all along. It just didn't come out till later. And that's why Rav Shmuel says it's not a stira. And indeed, says the Mishnah, Mas Bechet Shanada Be'asa Choysoi, V'chneser Rav Shmuel V'yipuwa. Tana, says the Gemara, how did Rav Shmuel make this woman look prettier? Says the Gemara, Shein Tosevis Hoysola, she had a false tooth. And it was made out of wood. And it was very apparent that it was a false wood tooth in a mouth that made her not look so nice. Vasar Rav Shmuel Shein Shazov, he made her a gold tooth. Mishloi, he spent the money for the gold. And that's how she became prettier. So there's a number of pshatim. Why would a gold tooth be better? Some explain that a gold tooth that he made had a similar shade to the other teeth in her mouth. And since it had a similar shade to the other teeth and her mouth, that's why it didn't look unappealing. Another pshat is, he made all the teeth in her mouth out of gold. And therefore, they all had that look, and it wasn't unappealing. Kishachar Rishmol Rishmol was Nifter. Pasach Alayhu Saftan Ahachi. The person who said the hesped are Rishmol, Benois Yisrael, Jewish girls are Yisrael, Rishmol, Bechina, Hamelishchem. He was worried about the Jewish girls, that they should look nice and that they should be able to get married, and therefore they particularly have to be upset when he left the world. There was somebody who said to his wife, "Kainim she at Nenesli, you may not have any benefit from me until Rabbi Yehuda Rav Shimon agreed to eat from what you cooked." Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda Tom, Rabbi Yehuda did, even though it was not really to his honor, but as we're going to learn, he did it to support the Shalom Bayis. Omar, because Rav Shmuel said, Kavachoymer. He said, Kavachoymer, Ma lasa Shalom bein ish lo ishtoi. In order to achieve peace between a husband and wife, so if a husband is if a wife is a Saita, we know the Torah in Parshas Nosai describes the entire procedure of a Saita. And part of the procedure is we write on a cloth, the Parsha Soita, and we have it erased by putting it into the water. And Amr Torah Shmi, Shenichta B'Kedusha, Hashem's name, who is so careful, should always be treated with Kedusha, not in a disrespectful way. The Torah Akdosha says, Yemoch Al Mayim Hamorim, should be erased. Here, and it's a suffix, we don't know what's going to be the result of that procedure. And maybe she actually is guilty. Still, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, on the outside chance that she'll be innocent, I'm prepared to have, says Hashem, my name erased. Here,
All that's required is that I should eat the food, and there'll be Rishalom Bayis restored in this home. Certainly, Allah's kam v'kama that I have to do what it takes. Rav Shimon refused to eat, and he was upset because he was concerned about the Kavodat Torah. Amar Yemusa Kol B'nei Almana. Let this person pass away, and his wife will become an almana, and his children will also suffer. For we know that halacha is that bavoin the darim meisa ishta ubanav shel adam. A person's family suffers if he makes nedarim. So I could help this all be solved. Still, I will not do so. I won't give up on the Kavodat Torah. Rav Shimon was concerned that if he will play along, who knows what the repercussions will be, and maybe people will become lax in the darim. So he wanted to cut it off right away. So the Ben Yoyada asks, here he has the ability of perhaps saving this family. And yes, Kavodat Torah is important, but how can't he take that into consideration? So the Ben Yoyada explains that Rav Shimon was concerned about the kashrus of the food. And therefore, because Rav Shimon was concerned about the kashrus of the food, he wasn't prepared to eat from the food even because of this. The Radzina Rebbe, in fact, says that Rav Shimon was machmer never to eat from a Seudas or a Shus. Rav Shimon always ate from a Seudas Mitzvah, and this wouldn't be considered a Seudas Mitzvah. I saw that the Stipler and Rav Chaim Kanievsky were very often invited to different meetings about different issues, and they never left their homes. They always stayed and learned. And they were asked, but don't you have to participate to help whatever the issue is? And they said, our lesson is Rav Shimon. Rav Shimon taught us that I'm in yeshiva, and I'm learning, and nothing else is going to be taken into consideration. And moreover, you have to look at the big picture. And Rav Shimon was concerned that if he's going to start participating, people are going to become lax in nedarim, and his time, which is so valuable, will also become not treated the way it should be treated. Hudam l'dvisa. Somebody said to his wife, "Koinu shiat nenesli, you may not have any benefit from me. At shetarike b'Rav Shimon Gamliel, until you expel saliva in front of Rav Shimon ben Gamliel." Osas v'raka alvusha. She went and spit on his garment. Amalei Rav Acham adiftel Ravina v'hamai lezlusukam chaven. This husband wanted to show disrespect, and by spitting on his garment, she hasn't accomplished anything. So no, she did it just because she wanted to fulfill the nether so she could stay married, but she hasn't accomplished that, because spitting on his garment isn't what he meant. Says the Gemara, Amalei, Meirik Amonei Durabon Rav Shimon Gamliel. Spitting on the garment of Rav Shimon Gamliel, Zalusarapsahi, is considered a terrible act of degradation, and that is considered as if the nether was fulfilled. Hod Amalei Devisa, somebody said to his wife, Koinim She'i At Nenesli, you may not have any benefit from me, Achetari Mum Yofeshabacha, Rav Shimon Rav Yossi. Even you have to be able to find something nice. In other words, the way to understand this Gemara is that this woman was very unappealing. And he was trying to say, I can't remain married to you because there's nothing nice about you. If Rav Shmuel Rav Yossi could find something nice about you, we'll have a good reason to remain married. Amalhem, so Rav Shmuel was talking to his Talmidim, and they were trying to find something appealing about this woman. Shemaroshana, maybe the shape of her head is nice. Almost galgal, it's very round and not nice. Shemasarana, maybe she has nice hair. So they said, Doimala Nitze Pishtin. Nitze Pishtin are always clumped together and knotted together. That's how hair grows. Shemenos, nenos, maybe she has nice eyes. So they said, True to saying that they're very round. Others say that they're always giving off tears. Shem has no noise. Maybe she has nice ears. So they said, Kfula saying, they're large and they look twice the size of anybody else's ears. Shem Chayt Menor, maybe she has a nice nose. So they said, Balamhu, that her nose is very shrunken in. It looks like it's completely closed up. Shemes Vesenos, maybe she has nice lips. So they said, Avasein, they're very thick. Shemes Avarano, maybe she has a nice neck. Shakahu, it's very short, and you can't even see as if she has a neck. She had a head that looked like it was directly on a body, not with a neck in between. Shema Kresano, maybe she has a nice stomach. Tzavahu, so they said it's swollen. Shema Raglenos, maybe she has nice legs. Ruchavash Kishal Avza, they look like the legs of a goose. Shema Shmono, maybe she has a nice name. So they said Lachluch L'Shema. Lachluch means dirt. Her name is dirt. Amalem, Yofen Karnas Lachluchis, since her name is most appropriate to her. Shimulchakas Bemumin, because unfortunately she suffers from all of these blemishes. So he was able to find something nice about her, for Sharia, and that's why he said the nether is not a nether, because he said there's nothing nice to be found about my wife. They were able to find something nice. But I did see that the Miri says, from here we see that a person should be very careful when he gives a name to his children. When he gives a name to his children, he should give a name that's a nice name. In fact, I saw that the Stipler used to tell people that a person should give, when a person gives his child a name, he should pay attention and think, will my child be embarrassed with this name when he becomes an adult? And if there's a concern that that's going to be, even though you're giving the name after a relative who very much you want to honor, maybe, here the Gemara says that one of the things that is nice about a person is a nice name. And somebody who doesn't have a nice name is something that a person should be concerned about. Says the Gemara, Huba Bavel, the Sol Kalar de Yisrael. There was a person from Bavel that came to live in Eretz Yisrael, not to serve at the sea. And he married a woman from Eretz Yisrael, Amrla, and he said to his wife, Bishili Trey Talfi, cook for me 2 beans. What he meant to say was, cook for me a small portion of beans. That's when somebody wants to eat a small portion of beans, that's the way it's expressed. But she didn't understand here. She didn't understand him, and basically trade halfly. So she cooked for him exactly 2 beans. Rasachala. So he got upset. What are you cooking for me, 2 beans? Lamachar, the next day, Amali Bishali Garvia, make for me a certain portion of beans. And he thought to himself that since she's being careful with what she's cooking, she'll cook now a proper portion and he'll get exactly what he needs. But now what she did was, Bashlalei Tagarya, she indeed prepared for him a large portion. So the Ben Yoyad explains this Gemara, that the Gemara is coming to teach us that a husband and a wife, particularly if they come from 2 different countries, have to make sure that they understand each other, that they have the communication skills to marry, to be able to communicate and live together. Din Yaakov says that the purpose of this Gemara is to teach us that a person, nechois darga v'nitisa itisa, a person when he's looking for a wife should not necessarily look for a wife who's greater in stature than him. And you should take a wife that's lower in stature. And that's exactly what happened here. Because he didn't take a wife that understood him, that's how they had this problem. But that was the minute to marry women that weren't as distinguished as the husband. Amala, so it continues the Gemara, he once told her, Zil Aisle Tre Betsini, please bring me 2 melons. Ozlai Vaisle Tre Shagri, she brought him 2 candles. Amala, Zil Tavrius and Aresh the Baba, go break them on the doorway, because go break them at the doorway. Have Yosef Baba Mabuta Baba. Baba meant at the doorway, but she started to understand that he meant Baba Mabuta. Yosef Mabuta Baba, where Baba Mabuta was sitting at the doorway, the Kadoim Dintaira, and he was leading a Dintaira. Azos, but she, who misunderstood her husband, went to Tavishash and Areshe, broke them on his head. as her husband had instructed him. Amara, so he asked, Ma Dein Davdus, what is this, that you're coming and you're breaking candlesticks on my head? Amrala, to which Amrala, so she responded, this woman responded, Kach Tzivani Bali, this is what my husband told me to do. Amar, At Ritzis Ritzayim Balech, you did what your husband instructed you to do. You didn't ask questions, as much as it didn't make any sense, and as much as it's lack of respect. You should be zoicha to have children. Since it was your kavana, l'shem shemayim, it was your kavana to do whatever your husband says. Somebody who has the intention to do what a husband wants brings shalom bayis into the home, and to the home where there's shalom bayis, there's bracha in the home, and in a home where there's bracha, there's going to be wonderful children. And that's what Baba Ben Buta said. Don't feel bad. Feel good. You're going to have great children. Hadron Lach Rebbe Lezer, Hadron Lach Rebbe Lezer, Hadron Lach Rebbe Lezer.